Thank you for joining us. We're going to be studying 1 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. We'll look at the second of the things that are reported by the household of Chloe to Paul. First, it was reported there are divisions among them. The Corinthians were being puffed up about their teachers. And he said, you ought to have the same mind and same judgment about them. That being puffed up is going to play into chapter 5 as well. And so we come to chapter 5, and it is a strong rebuke to the church about their continued fellowship with a man who's openly in sin. In fact, notice in verse 1, it says it is actually reported. So this is on the front page of the Corinthian Times. This is an open scandal. Second of all, it is a case of incest. It says this man has his father's wife. Third, it's not even reported among the Gentiles. Not even Gentiles, not even unbelievers of the world will put up with this. And yet you're putting up with it. In fact, among the Romans, it would have been illegal to do that. And so then Paul's going to address two attitudes, an improper attitude and a right attitude. He says, relative to the improper attitude, you've not mourned. You're puffed up. Your glorying is not good. Being puffed up, that runs through the book. They might have said, but our teachers, our knowledge, our gifts, ashamed, corruption, but our teachers, our knowledge, our gift. Their being puffed up was not because of this man, but in spite of this man. And he caused them to do nothing. So the proper attitude is they should have mourned. They should have been humbled and recognized the danger and obeyed God. Why mourn? Because verse 5, a soul is lost. Verse 6, the purity of the church is being threatened. Verse 7, the leaven is seeping through the church. God is defamed. God is dishonored. And they haven't complied with the will of God. And so they're being puffed up. It caused them not to obey God. And therefore, they have not properly mourned. What action is to be taken? Look at verse 2. It says that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. New American Standard says, removed from your midst. Verse 5, deliver such a one to Satan. Verse 7, clean out the old leaven. The imagery there is when the Jews, before the Passover, would take their well-lighted lamps and they would search in the darkest corners of the house to find the leaven, because leaven was a sign of corruption, a sign of wickedness. And so he says, you take the same, have the same diligence the Jews did in seeking out that corruption in their house, and you do that in the church. And you're not doing that because you're puffed up and you haven't mourned about it. Verse 9, he will say, not to keep company with such a one. Verse 11, not to keep company with, not even to eat. And then verse 13, he said, to remove from among your midst. This idea of not to keep company with, not to eat, is indicative of severing association with. The kind of association forbidden is unavoidable with the world. Therefore, this doesn't describe spiritual fellowship. The association Paul is condemning is one which condones, encourages, and therefore fellowships the sin. And so the Corinthians were to judge those that were within. God would judge those that are without. If this simply refers to open recognition of no spiritual fellowship, they would treat those within and without the same. But Paul says, you're not going to set the whole world right. Those that are without in God's jurisdiction, our responsibility is to judge those that are within, to mete out that punishment that is commanded. Not to eat with such a one. Why? Because rebellion is the basis. This is the epitome of social relationships. Avoid social relationships with the world, it would be necessary to go outside the world. Severing social associations with those within reflect the church's judgment. What was no association to prevent? Verse 6, your glory is not good. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So So it's taking place and it's having, it's affecting the whole church. And so you sever this relationship. Well, when is this to take place? Read with me verses 3, 4, and 5. If I indeed is absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So when is this action to take place? Because verse 4 says, when you are gathered together, some have thought, well, this is something to be done in the assembly. What Paul is calling for is something that is required of something more than just out, just in the assembly. Gathered together could be gathering together of minds. In fact, listen to the Amplified Version. How the Amplified Version reads this. As for my attitude, though I'm absent from you in body, I am present in spirit. I've already decided to pass judgment as if actually present in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the man who has committed such a deed, when you in my spirit are met together with the power of the Lord, you are to deliver this man over to Satan for physical discipline to destroy carnal lust, which prompted him to incest, that his spirit may yet be saved in the day of the Lord. Now go back to the New King James, which is what I was reading a while ago, and leave out all the parenthetical thoughts. Who acted? I, Paul. What did he do? Have already judged. Whom did he judge? Him who has committed this deed. What was his verdict? Deliver such a one to Satan. The judgment was not to determine the guilt. That was already obvious. But to decide the punishment. It simply means you recognize and you declare the sinner for what he is. That doesn't make him a sinner. It is recognizing what he is. He is living in sin. When is such a one to be judged? In accord with the power of the Lord. When your mind and my mind are gathered together as one. This is not something that refers to an announcement in assembly. Saying it is not doing it. It's not done by the collective, it's done by each individual. Each individual is to separate themselves. The church collectively doesn't separate. Each individual is to separate and make this judgment. Again, saying it is not the doing of it. In baptizing someone, if you say in the name of Jesus, but never immerse them, they're not baptized. It's just saying what is to be done. In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that word power is the same word for able. In Romans 11 and 23, when we use the word able, we mean ability to do. When it is used of God, he has both the will and ability to do this. So when you and I meet together with the will and ability of the Lord, when your mind and my mind are in agreement, then deliver such a one to Satan. So the gather together is the gathering together of minds. Well, that's exactly what was taking place in the first four chapters. Their minds were divided. Here their minds aren't properly mourning. They're puffed up and they're glorying in what ought to be a shame. Paul said, I've already determined this. Now I want you to be on the same page. I want you to have the same mind I do. So when our minds are gathered together, that's when this is to be done. Well, what is the aim here? Obviously, verse 4 is to save a soul. Verse 5, rather, to deliver such a one to Satan that his soul may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6 is to keep the church pure. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So leaven must be removed because it's evil. The spiritual nature and goal of each fellowship, his spiritual character is highly dependent upon the exercise and scope of this kind of discipline. Verse 7, to glorify God, purge out the whole lump, that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are leavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for you. So what are some lasting principles to take away from this study? First of all, overlooking flagrant sin is not gracious but dangerous. We dare not allow wrong to go unchecked. Second, rebuking sinners is not optional but essential. When God of the world expects the same thing of us, but we, because we don't mourn, don't do it, We allow sin that defiantly breaks out within, even among us, to dishonor the Lord. And the church and the Lord are defamed, and the church becomes impure. Third, dealing with sinful situations should not be punitive but remedial. We're not vultures preying on the fallen. We should be like physicians, however, restoring those members who are out of joint with the rule of Christ. And then finally, correcting disorders is not external but internal. This kind of discipline is strictly a family matter, to be carried out by believers for believers. But correction would never occur if you and I would center our hearts around the Lord. This would be completely unnecessary. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us today in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll go forward to chapter 6 in our next study. Look forward to visiting with you then. Thank you.